Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
Something that's super important to remember too is that recessions don't last forever. I think the average is like 17 months or something like that, which is scary. And especially for people who are maybe saving up for something big like a home or, you know, near retirement, it's scary. But definitely keep in mind that recessions aren't forever, and a strong financial plan, a strong investing plan can kind of help you weather that, even though, like I mentioned, the stock market does typically fall during a recession and things get scary.
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. At this point, I mean, who really knows if we're actually in a recession and how big that recession might actually be? But whatever's happening, it doesn't change the fact that Wall Street is on literal pins and needles, and the stock market has seen a fair share of ups and downs and all which ways over the last 6 months. So I was doing some research, and according to the Wall Street Journal, they say that despite signs that inflation has started to recede, which is really good, economists still expect higher interest rates to push the U.S. economy into a recession this coming year. They also say that all the really smart economists polled by the journal have put the probability of recession in the next 12 months at about 61%. So what I really wanted to know, and my guess is you do too, is what in the world should you do with your investments in a recession? So I called in Money's investing editor, Malika Mitra, to weigh in on how you should be thinking about investing this year. Tips to move past all of that fear around investing. What percentage of your paycheck should you actually be investing with? And why women are handling the stock market twists and turns a little bit better than men. It's pretty fascinating. All right, let's get talking. Hey, real quick before we dive into the episode, just wanted to say a quick I'm sorry to Malika, because if you'll hear in this conversation, I was mispronouncing her name and I feel terrible because my name is mispronounced all of the time. But just know her name is actually Malika. All right, let's jump into the episode. Malika, you are a Money's editor. You recently launched this newsletter called Investing with Money, and you have got your ears to the ground of what's going on in the investing world. And I think everyone listening, we all know that 2022 is a really bumpy ride in the stock market. And, you know, we've got listeners on this pod with, you know, lots of experience in investing, and then a lot of people that are just kind of starting out and trying to find their way through everything. And I think the one thing that everyone's really trying to figure out is this idea of recession and how that is going to impact our money in 2023. So just to kind of start us out, maybe the big question is, you know, actually, are we in a recession? Or is all of this talk of a recession just kind of this giant fear-mongering tactic that's being used?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because people can't really get on the same page about whether or not we're in a recession or whether or not we're going to be in a recession. It kind of, the way that a lot of people think about recessions are two quarters in a row of negative GDP growth, gross domestic product. And we had that early in 2022, but then it turned around. But a recession was never officially declared by the National Bureau of Economic Research. And they're kind of the, you know, quasi-official, you know, people who call whether or not we're in a recession. So as of right now, a recession in the U.S. has not been called. That being said, like you said, a lot of people are talking about recessions. There's a lot of fear around recessions. You know, there are articles coming out all the time of like all the U.S. CEOs that think we're in a recession and things like that. You know, I can't say whether or not we're in a recession right now, because a lot of the experts can't say either. But I would say that it's not a bad idea to kind of get your finances in shape for a recession.
Yeah, I think it was Jamie Dimon, who's the head of JP Morgan Chase. He had come out last year and he had said something like, what did he say? Not tsunami, I don't think, economic hurricane, I think was the words that he used, and that, you know, everything was just going to be terrible and awful. And then I actually just read last week that he was like, well, you know, I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as I thought. Maybe I used like too strong of words. And I think it's just really interesting because, you know, the talk that's out there really wants us to be afraid of this thing called a recession. But you know, I mean, history, right? We go through recessions, we come in, we come out of it. So I'm just wondering, you know, how does a recession actually impact the stock market?
Yeah, so it's hard because a recession is usually declared kind of after the fact, and the stock market's really forward-looking. But in general, the stock market does tend to fall during a recession. You know, we had a very short recession in 2020, and the stock market fell. That's just one example. But something that's super important to remember too is that recessions don't last forever. I think the average is like 17 months or something like that, which is scary. And especially for people who are maybe saving up for something big, like a home or, you know, near retirement, it's scary. But definitely keep in mind that recessions aren't forever, and a strong financial plan, a strong investing plan can kind of help you weather that, even though, like I mentioned, the stock market does typically fall during a recession and things get scary.
Yeah, kind of talking about that, I was reading a couple of articles on money that you had edited, and one of them that really stood out to me was called 5 Common Mistakes Investors Make When the Markets Are Volatile. And it says, to quote it, it says, to stay on the right track towards your investing goals, it's crucial to be disciplined and level-headed during periods of stock market volatility. And of course, that's easier said than done. And many common investing mistakes can be even more likely to happen when the markets are really volatile. And, you know, I love talking about mindset and the psychology around money, and particularly when we're talking about investing. It's like really big. So this idea of like staying disciplined and level-headed when the market is all over the place, you know, what would you say to us? Like, how do we actually keep ourselves in that place so we are not just like swayed by whatever, you know, somebody out there is saying, or the news reports, or just even the market kind of going all over the place?
Yeah, it's hard, right? It's scary. I think when you see, like, you look at your 401k or your other investment accounts and you see them in the red or something like that. But I'd say have a good investing and financial plan that you can stick to when things get scary. So for example, a lot of the experts I talk to recommend dollar cost averaging, which is, you know, investing a set amount of money at regular intervals. And that's going to look different for every person. Of course, maybe that's $100 a month. Maybe it's less, maybe it's more, maybe it's quarterly. And if you can, trying to stick to that even when markets are down, because keep in mind when markets are down, you know, stocks, if we're talking about stocks, are on sale. And then you can, you know, benefit from an eventual recovery. So I think having a plan in place that you can stick to even when things get tough is important. But also, it's okay to be somewhat flexible. I mean, it's important to be flexible. I think for a lot of people, when a recession is coming, something that's really important, or potentially coming, something that's important to think about is your emergency plan. You know, so financial advisors tend to recommend like 3 to 6 months of your expenses that you can cover in an emergency plan or emergency fund. And I think, you know, if a recession is really scary to you, if you maybe have a job that has a little bit less job security, or maybe other aspects of your life, your risk tolerance is up, maybe, or your risk tolerance is down and your level of risk is up, you know, maybe you need to buy a car this year or something like that. It's okay to try and up your emergency fund a little bit and kind of allocate dollars towards, cash and towards your emergency fund instead of, you know, to the stock market, like you maybe typically would. For me, something that personally helps is just looking at historical facts. And maybe that's just because I'm like nerdy and I'm an investing editor, but like to keep in mind that stock market downturns don't last forever. And that historically the stock market has always gone up after you know, a downturn is very comforting to me. And that can help me, you know, in those moments where I look and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to pull all my money out and like keep it on the sidelines and keep it safe. Like that's what really helps me. So I think like, you know, kind of not giving into those scary headlines sometimes, and instead, you know, make sure you're reading full articles, being educated about what typically happens during a stock market downturn and how you can actually benefit from it.
Yeah, I want to talk about a couple of things that you said there. First, you talked about this idea of when the stock market's down, that stocks are actually on sale. And you hear a lot of people talk about that, but like, what does that actually practically mean?
Yeah, so it means that whether you're investing in individual stocks or funds, that they cost less when the stock market's down. You know, so say a stock, just for an example, was like $100 a share when stocks were near their all-time high in early 2022. Now it's going to be probably significantly lower. And so you can actually allocate more of your money towards getting more shares. And then hopefully when the market recovers, you'll have bought more and you can benefit more from that recovery. So really it means exactly what you'd think, that it costs less to buy more shares.
Right. And everybody loves a good sale, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting with investing because I know that it's really scary. And I kind of see two things happen when the stock market is crazy. Either, like you were saying, you want to just sell and get out of it and you'd want to like close your eyes and not have to think about it. And then the other side is that I know a lot of listeners have shared this with me, that they just get scared to start investing. So they literally just stop altogether. And, you know, what you're saying is that you know, the stock market is going to go on this wild ride. And I think the last probably, 10, 12 years, we've seen the stock market really on the kind of incline, right? And so this is like last year, I think, was a real shock for a lot of people who are new investors that were along for the little bit of the bumpy ride. But you talked about facts and history. I think the average, correct me if I'm wrong, if we look at like a 30-year history, the stock market averages about 10% a year over that 30-year history. Yeah. And you know, that's taking into account some of those big, like 2008 and 2009, where we saw, you know, everything just kind of like implode. And mm-hmm. then, you know, we had the technology sector kind of crash, the internet sector in 2000, 2001-ish. So, you know, I think what you're saying is that it's really important to remember that the stock market goes up and down. Like what sort of words of wisdom would you give to someone that is just, you know, panicked to either get in the market right now or has kind of that, you know, that the real fear sense, like, I just want to sell. I just have to get out.
Yeah. I think it would be look at history. You know, historically the stock market has continued to go up, and, you know, there's a reason that people say that it's one of the best ways to build wealth and to save for a comfortable retirement, is investing in financial markets. And so, like you said, I think for a lot of new investors, it's scary. And we saw so many new investors during the pandemic, there was this big boom in interest around investing. But I think, you know, there's a reason that you started investing, and whether that was to, you know, be able to save for your retirement, save for other milestones like a house or your future child's education, whatever it may be, you know, there's a reason that you started investing. And if you panic and sell when the stock market's down, you're doing the opposite of what you wanted to do, which is, you know, helping your future self.
Yeah, I love that. That's great advice. I want to talk a little bit about some of the maybe big or maybe even small kind of investing trends that you see really coming up this year. But before we do that, I just have to ask about crypto, because crypto was in the headlines a lot last year. And I don't know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to crypto. But, you know, should we still care about crypto?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that question a lot, is like, do I need to even pay attention to what's going on with crypto? You know, crypto obviously had a huge run in the past few years. You know, Bitcoin's price was over 60,000 per coin, which is pretty wild to think about, since now it's like around 20,000, if not below. I think that we're going to keep seeing crypto in the headlines. We're going to keep talking about crypto. There are so many people that kind of believe in the future of decentralized finance, that it's definitely going to still be a point. And also, we've seen a lot of institutional adoption recently. So, you know, a lot of the big brokerage firms, like Fidelity Investments, even, that has like gotten into crypto a bit. And so once you start seeing that kind of institutional adoption, which also helps the price of crypto, I think we're going to keep hearing about it. But like you said, we've been hearing about crypto a lot for the negative, like the implosion of FTX, which was a big crypto exchange, for example. I would just try to keep in mind, crypto is so risky. It's new. We don't know too much about it. The regulation question is a big one. Right now, it's not regulated like stocks and bonds. And so,
why does that matter?
Right. Well, because you know, the SEC, which is the kind of big entity that regulates the stock market, for example, doesn't have the same kind of holder regulation over crypto. So that just means you're protected less as a investor, as a consumer. But it also matters because regulation could change significantly in the future. And that could also impact crypto prices and the way that crypto is used. So just a lack of regulation right now makes it not very safe for investors, but also makes the future so uncertain.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because that lack of regulation, I think, is actually what so many people like, but it actually mm-hmm. could be sort of the detriment of crypto, which I think is like a really interesting, I don't know, I'm kind of sitting back here with like a bowl of popcorn, just kind of watching to see how this all shakes out. And, you know, even where we're going to be like in the next couple of years, I think it's going to be
really interesting. I, of course, don't want people to lose money at all, but I think it's really interesting that crypto has these like surges and then these like giant pullbacks. And, you know, people who thought this was kind of like the next best thing, you know, are left there, unfortunately, are the ones that maybe lost some money in crypto. So I love that you're talking about, you know, maybe you make this like a small percentage of your portfolio that you'd be okay if it, I mean, you're never okay if money vaporizes, but, you know, if it went away, it wouldn't be sacrificing all of your other money goals.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, it's important that if you want to kind of dabble in crypto, to only invest as much as you can lose. And I hesitate to even say that because like you said, like losing money is, you know, often you can't afford to really lose any money at all. But financial advisors that I've talked to say to think about it kind of like if you're investing in individual stocks and kind of seeing that as like play money in a way. So, you know, a small percent of your portfolio, whether it's 2%, whether it's 5%, very small, that you can afford to lose if, you know, crypto crashes again after you buy.
Right. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I don't like going to Las Vegas at all. I hate losing money. So like crypto was always something for me. I was like, I don't know. We had a lot of experts on this show talking about crypto and made a really solid case for it. But I don't know. I think the jury's still out. Okay. So moving on from crypto, Malika, what are some of the other, you know, big investing headlines that you think we're going to see this year?
Yeah. So I just talked to a bunch of experts on kind of what we're going to be talking about when it comes to the stock market. I think one of thing that we're, you know, obviously really looking at is inflation and the Federal Reserve. Anyone who's listening to this has probably felt inflation at some point over the past few years, whether it's at the grocery store or when you're buying gas or something like that. And so the Federal Reserve has been hiking interest rates to kind of battle inflation, but that also weighs on the price of financial assets like stocks. And so I think that's going to continue to be the big story of 2023 is how do those interest rate hikes impact the stock market and your portfolio. Another thing is kind of, globally, there's a lot going on. So China is attempting to reopen its economy. China is one of the biggest economies in the world. And so that's going to have a big impact on the U.S. stock market. Of course, there's still the war in Ukraine, and that's going to have a big impact. So all these kinds of things. But I think the biggest conversation right now is around inflation.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Yeah, and also thinking about inflation and kind of its maybe its cousin, the interest rates, you know, how do the raising kind of interest rate environment that we're in, how does that impact stocks? Does it just make it a little bit more volatile, or does it have a direct impact?
So it's not a direct impact between inflation and the stock market, but it's what the Federal Reserve is doing because of inflation. So when the Federal Reserve hikes interest rates, that makes it more expensive for businesses and consumers to borrow money. And kind of in a trickle-down effect, you know, consumers have maybe less money to spend, businesses, it's more expensive for them to borrow. That can hurt businesses' earnings. And then that can hurt kind of the outlook of their future and stocks. And so I think it's easy to think like, oh, inflation is dropping or inflation is up, and so the stock market will do exactly this. But there are so many things in between. And I think it's super interesting that, you know, sometimes what seems like good news, like a good jobs report, is actually maybe bad for the stock market because it means that the economy is still growing. And so the Federal Reserve is going to hike interest rates. So there's so many things going into this, but essentially higher interest rates tend to kind of crimp financial assets, this price of financial assets.
And how much of, you know, the news headlines and kind of, you know, the different economic reports that come out, how much of that should we be paying attention to as, you know, investors, no matter kind of where we are in our journey, should we be actually like tuning in and like getting educated on that? Or is a lot of that just stuff that's kind of out of our control and maybe, you know, we don't need to spend some time thinking about it?
I mean, I think if people want to be educated on it, that's always a good thing, but don't make changes to your investing plan based on 1 month of a jobs report or, you know, 1 month of where inflation is. So in short, no, you don't have to pay attention to all those little numbers as an investor, especially if you're a long-term investor, you know, when you're investing for decades out from now or even years out from now. This is all temporary, you know, the state of inflation could be so different a year from now, 2 years from now. So while I think it's always good for people to kind of know what's going on with the Fed, just because it impacts their money, you definitely don't want to be making changes to your financial plan and to your investing plan based on every report.
Right. We probably like lose our minds if we were doing that. Another thing that another thing that you guys really found in some of your reporting and some of the articles that have come out from Money have been this idea that when the market has been volatile and been a little bit crazy, that actually women traded less in their accounts, about 40% less than men. So women were kind of staying the course more than men were, you know, when the market was kind of doing some of these wild swings. Like, what'd you guys find out about the differences between like men and women investing? Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, exactly like you said. Women in general tend to be less confident, a lot of surveys show, when it comes to investing and their money in general. But they tend to be less impulsive when it comes to making changes to their portfolios based on, you know, headlines and things like that. That's super interesting to me, especially, you know, I'm a woman. I have a lot of young women friends who I talk to about this all the time. And I definitely see that data play out in my life, you know, anecdotally. I think that for women, it's so important to try to educate yourself, but also just talk about money with your friends. You know, I learned something new from like my friends who are investing all the time. I think a big topic of conversation for us is like around, should you be investing when you have student debt and things like that? So there are definitely trends that come up all the time that are probably worrying you, that I'm sure that your friends are having too, but there's such a taboo to talk about money, I feel like, especially with women. But yeah, like you said, there we basically have been looking at some surveys and a lot of them have found that women actually tend to stay the course and stick to their plan and are less impulsive when it comes to investing.
It's really interesting. It's not shocking, but really interesting information. And you talked about this idea of, you know, sharing openly with friends. It's why we named the podcast what we did. Everyone's talking money, so we can have this place to have these conversations. You know, I just curious from your own perspective, like, how do you actually enter into conversations with your friends, like particularly around investing?
Yeah. I mean, I think it maybe is easy for me in that I have a newsletter. So my friends will ask me about investing questions to include in my newsletter. But before I had that, I try to just be really like open with my friends about, you know, my investing plan and kind of what I do, because I found that a lot of the times it's just making that first step. So maybe it's just not knowing how much of your paycheck to allocate towards your 401k or something like that. And so, I mean, I try to bring it up in like everyday situations with my friends. You know, maybe we're out to brunch and like I'll bring up the stock market. I don't mind talking about that, but I totally understand that it's hard. So I think like starting with like close friends, and if you're just, you know, let them know, you know, I've started looking into like investing, I'm interested in this, I'm wondering, do you do that? Do you have like a platform that you really like? I think that's a good way to engage with people, is understanding like what types of investing platforms they use, if they have any like educational resources, if they have any newsletters or podcasts that they listen to. I think especially like podcasts like yours, which are, you know, really conversational and easy to get into, I think is like a good way to kind of start asking what resources other people are using and offering up your own.
Yeah, I would imagine that probably all your friends come to you for the investing information. And I was doing a little bit of research kind of on your background, because I love hearing about everybody's money stories. And I know that investing, it's been in your blood. Your grandfather was a stockbroker, but you say you didn't actually learn about investing till after college. Like, how did you actually first get interested in investing and decide to make this your career?
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Yeah, so I really became interested in investing when I started writing about personal finance. I wrote about personal finance kind of more broadly before I wrote about investing. I interned early on at CNBC, where I would contribute to the personal finance desk, and that's where I really got interested. That being said, I talked to, you know, I have a younger sister, and I try to get her interested in investing. Same with my friends, because you know, you shouldn't have to work in an industry where you talk about personal finance all the time to know about how to invest, you know, for your future. So I got in through it solely through writing about it and being really interested in kind of people's personal stories, like the way you are around money and things like that. But now that I'm in it, I know there are so many resources out there, so many fun resources that you can use to talk about money. And so I really try to get other people in my life interested in it, despite them not maybe writing about personal finance for their career.
Right, exactly. You know, it's funny when you you probably have this similar experience. I'm a money expert, do this show, And so I talk about money a lot in my life. And it's always interesting to me that, you know, other people come up to me and they're usually really nervous to share their own story about money, or maybe they had a mistake that they made and, you know, they're really sort of self-conscious about it, or maybe even shameful or fearful. And, you know, I always try and like just encourage people that, you know, if we talk openly about money, of the things that have gone well and the things that haven't gone well, probably even more importantly, you know, we can hopefully create a space where talking about money is something that is open and accepted. And you can go to brunch with your girlfriends or your friends and just kind of sit down and start talking openly about things that you're doing or goals that you have or whatever it might be. And my hope is always that we can kind of take money out from being like this 800-pound gorilla in a room mm-hmm. and make it something where, you know, it's, we all feel empowered to talk about money, and we feel like we have, you know, the resources and the support to, you know, help make our money goals come to life. Because this stuff is, it's tricky, it's difficult.
Definitely. And I think investing specifically is just so, you know, overwhelming when you're first looking at all the resources and all the places you should put your money. You know, we had a story on money that based on a TikTok that went viral about this woman talking about how she had thought she was investing in her Roth IRA, but she was really just depositing money into it and then not actually investing it. Oh. And I was just looking at the comments and I started talking to my friends. I was like, how many people are doing this? And it's so many people do like things like that. And so I try to just remind myself that, you know, I make money mistakes. Everyone's making money mistakes. You know, the professionals on Wall Street, they don't know how to call what's next in the stock market. You know, like we're all just kind of trying to figure this out. And I think talking about it does bring up more of the mistakes that other people are making so that you won't make them yourself.
Yeah. And you mentioned this idea of like how to figure out how much of your paycheck to put into investing. And I think that is a common question that everyone's trying to figure out. I wonder if you could share a little bit about maybe even like how you manage your money and the percentages that you figure out towards investing, or, you know, how somebody listening would be able to figure that out themselves.
Yeah, sure. So the first thing to think about is if you have an employer-sponsored retirement account, like a 401k, you want to at least try to contribute what your employer will match. So, you know, if you contribute 3% of your paycheck and your employer will match 3%, then you really want to try to get that 3%. So I think that's the first thing to think about, because that's kind of also an easy one. That money will go into your 401k and you won't really see it. I think what's harder is when the money comes into your bank account, you're looking at it each month and you're like, okay, I could spend this or I could invest it. And so what I do, I do have a retirement account through my employer, but then I also, every month at the end of the month, when I sit down to, I do my credit card bill like manual every month, just because I want to like force myself to look at the charges and what I spent money on. And then I'll figure out, you know, how much can I invest in addition to this. And that changes month to month. You know, around the holidays, I spent a lot of money on holiday gifts and a lot of money on plane tickets. And so I think maybe I didn't contribute money to my investment accounts at the end of December. But like, you know, in January, February, when I'm spending a lot of time inside, I'm cooking and things like that, then I know that I can invest a little bit more. So I look at it every month. And that sounds maybe like it's like this whole big process. It takes me maybe 15 minutes every month. And since I have it in my head that I'm going to do that, that really helps me. And again, like I try to think of historical data. I'm like, yes, I'm putting this money in my investment accounts. That means I cannot spend it, but it means that years from now, hopefully it'll grow and I'll be able to spend it on something that I really want in the future.
And how often are you making changes? Like when you're putting money into your retirement accounts, are you making changes very often, or are you just kind of staying the course for, you know, what you've invested in?
I really try to stay the course. You know, I've put in together a plan that I think works for me. And so as I write about every day in money, I don't make like, you know, changes to my portfolio just based on the news or things like that. I think, you know, that may change if I decide to buy a house or like something like that, then of course I'm going to want to revisit my risk tolerance and my timeline and all of that kind of thing. But for now, I'm really, you know, staying the course and sticking to my plan, and it's working for now.
That's good, right? It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good when it works. You know, I think back when I was like first out of college, and my dad had been in the financial industry his whole career, and he was like, you have to start investing. You have to start investing. I'm like, why? You know, and I grew up around him talking about money. And so I started to invest and, you know, did great until, you know, mid to late 20s. I ended up getting a divorce very early 30s. And, you know, most of the money that we'd put in investing was just kind of vaporized through the divorce, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I like always just kind of kick myself thinking about, you know, even like parents who have kids and they start investing for them when they're like newborns, you know, and by mm-hmm. the time they're like 30 and 40, the amount of money they have accumulated from just, you know, regular kind of small deposits in some sort of investing account, like how much that money can really grow to. So, you know, my hope is that everybody listening is inspired that, you know, no matter what the stock market's doing, to just do what you're talking about, which is just kind of stay the course, because, you know, things do level out and equal out, and the stock market will, you know, eventually go up again.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important to remember that you don't need to wait until you have $5,000 or even, you know, $1,000. Most people don't have that lying around. You know, but if you can just start investing a little bit now and making it habit and practice and something that you think about every month or every quarter or whatever works for you, then that kind of at least makes it a little bit less intimidating, I think. And that will help you in your future. You know, that money is going to grow over time, and you're really going to be happy that you just kind of, you know, kicked yourself and started doing it now instead of continuing to wait and wait, which is what I hear people say that they're doing a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, I know there's going to be, we'll probably like come back to this interview, you know, a year from now and look back at all the things that really happened in the investing world here in 2023. I'm sure it's going to be another wild ride. So I'm wondering, Malika, you know, what do you want us to remember about investing this year? Whether we're in a recession, not in recession, whether the stock market goes up or down, what do you want us to remember about investing?
Investing doesn't have to be scary. I know that it seems that way when people are throwing around terms like ETFs, mutual funds, all these things. Of course, that's super intimidating. But you know, if you make small changes to your financial plan now and just start investing a little bit, maybe it's finally starting to, you know, contribute to your company's 401k, or maybe it's opening a, you know, a individual retirement account and starting to put in a little bit of money every month or something like that. I think I would just say it doesn't have to be scary, but it is important to stick to it and stick to your plan and not panic and panic sell when things get scary. So I would say, you know, put a plan in place that you can stick to and then stick to it.
It's so easy to get swept up into the headlines. And we've talked about them a lot in the show because, well, they're just coming at us a lot, right? Between inflation and recession and layoffs, it just feels like everything around money is going to shit. But as Malika pointed out, everything around money is cyclical. And these ebbs and flows, they're just completely normal. We just need to be prepared. We need to get in a good money mindset and really do the best to stay our course when it comes to investing. If you want to get all of Malika's insights, you can sign up for her newsletter, Investing with Money, at money.com/subscribe. And be sure to write in all of your investing questions. She loves to answer them. If you enjoyed this episode, shout it out to a few friends. Tell them why they should be also figuring out how to invest in a recession. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guests, as well as the sponsors who make this show possible. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Rakuten helps you be a smarter shopper and save money on just about everything. People all have things they need to buy, whether it's home essentials or a self-care treat just for you. With Rakuten, you get cash back on clothes, groceries, travel, and much, much more. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other deals like store sales and credit card points. In case you're wondering, the stores on Rakuten are the ones you know and love, and lots of cool ones waiting to be discovered, including Target, Lowe's, and Nike. When it comes to savvy shopping and saving money, Rakuten is a no-brainer. It's free and easy to join. Just go to Rakuten.com now or download the Rakuten app today. That's Rakuten.